San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good evening, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you from KFMB Studios with 50,000 watts of power. We're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, LA County, up the coast of Seattle on a good night, down to Cabo, out to the desert. And if you download the app for 760 KFMB, you can hear us on your smartphone. And we're free on iTunes. Just search It's Your Money and Your Life. And now it's time to introduce the main man of the hour. He is a CPA extraordinaire. He's an accomplished marathon runner. He's a philanthropist. He's a best-selling author and a family office expert advising several high net worth families. His name is Richard Muzio. Richard, good evening. How are you tonight?
I am marvelous, Joe. It's been a fun week.
Boy, are we having some heat, aren't we?
Yeah, this weather's fairly warm, but as I say, it's dry heat.
You know, the heat recently with the humidity was more of a bothersome.
Yeah, it was tougher.
I really kind of
but
just exciting doesn't bother me that much.
My older daughter Mia had her first day of classes at UCSD on Thursday.
Yes.
And of course, we had Chancellor Pradeep Khosla on recently
in June.
Great show.
Commencement, and she was in the studio that day and asked him a question.
Absolutely. So she's starting at UCSD. Very exciting.
So if any of you want to hear that interview, it's a great one.
It's a great interview.
Just go on our website, iymoney.com. I should always mention that.
But school is in session. So.
Absolutely. So let's see. What else to talk about? Well, Padres are out of it, and the World Series is starting, the playoffs, and the Chargers are doing great. And life goes on.
But.
Yeah. Speaking of heat, boy, I did go to the game. I got a ticket last week, and they said it was a lot cooler than the Seattle game. It was 120 degrees on that field. So,
holy cow.
And that was with the humidity. So, but anyway, we're
no
ready.
No wonder Philip Rivers is so hot.
Hey, we owe the New York Jets, and they're coming in tomorrow. So, you know, let's hope that goes well. But let's get into the second half of our show.
Yeah, we've got another guest. This is fascinating stuff.
Yeah, another great guest. So it's all, you know, sustainability, the green movement, it's all on everybody's mind these days.
We talk about it a lot on the show.
And these folks here, I think, have nailed it with another great concept. But as a good lead-in, just this week I saw Netflix. I still get the DVDs
in
the mail.
You sent me that link. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I get the DVDs in the mail. I also get them online. And I don't know if this film was recently in the theaters. And it was called Fed Up, and it was about the horrible diets everyone's eating and how sugar's crept into all the processed food out there. 600,000 food items, sugar in some form is in 80% of them. The obesity epidemic is, you know, obvious. And our next guest has come up with one solution to get more healthy. Oh, and one mantra by Dr. Lustig in the film was eat real food.
Eat real food, right.
So that's a perfect lead-in.
That means there's not, like, plastic wrapping around it.
Right. So anyway, our next guest has innovated a project called Hometown Farms. He's the CEO, and his name is Dan Gibbs. Dan, welcome. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great, Joe. Yeah. Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me, Richard.
Yeah.
Oh, our pleasure. So I'm a big fan of Whole Foods, but when I take my daughter there, we buy five things, and it costs about $47, and I have an issue with that because I make a little bit of money, but a lot of people don't make a lot of money. And you know, I think what they're doing is great, and John Mackey, of course, is behind Conscious Capitalism, which I think is a great movement, but I think people should be able to go out and get real food who can do so affordably.
Absolutely. And really, that's why my partner, Mike Castro, and myself started the company. Our whole mission really was, and our thought was, is that, you know, everybody wants to eat healthy. Everybody wants to take care of the family. But if you can't afford it, mm-hmm. then you go to what you can afford.
Right.
And unfortunately, because of big business, most of the things you can afford are terrible for you.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely.
Well, one point in this film was, you know, it wasn't even such a the cost issue. It's just the marketing and the advertising. It's the big food, big sugar, big advertising industries that are bombarding kids and all of us with these foods that aren't really these Carl Jr. I shouldn't mention a particular brand, but those hamburger commercials on TV that you need three people to hold them.
Yeah, and, you need a widescreen TV just to see the burger.
There's enough calories in one burger that you should have for the whole day.
Right.
Yeah. So cheese and bacon and this and that. Although we did have Slater's 50-50 on here once, but I guess once in a while it's okay. But you guys have really innovated something terrific here.
But Dan, leading up to that, my grandfather owned a dairy farm in the Central Valley, but. Mm-hmm. A challenge we have here in California is land is so valuable and farms typically are situated on land.
Absolutely.
But you're not really situated on land, are you?
Well, actually, we're on land.
I mean, you're on land.
We got a greenhouse.
But it's a different kind of format that greatly reduces the cost of shall we say, the premises.
That's absolutely it. Because obviously, urban farming has been around since forever. And the only reason that it hasn't really taken off is because of the economics. It takes volunteers, government subsidies, or free dirt, you know, free land given by somebody.
And the transportation costs.
That's it. So really what we looked at is how can we take that land and make it economically viable to feed the masses at affordable pricing? Mm-hmm. So as you're alluding to, Richard, we use airspace. Israeli, Dutch, Spanish growing systems, they use the air as well as the ground. We can yield 500,000 pounds. Versus 20,000 to 40,000 pounds of what traditional farmers that farm in the dirt get.
So what was the catalyst for you to go into this business venture? Because I know you're a very successful business person. We're not going to go into your background. What, did you want to do something good for the community? Did you just, you know, huge fan of eating healthy? I mean, what was behind your decision to move in this direction?
Me and some friends took a company public self-heating container. Mm-hmm. And long story short, I realized that even though we use recyclable plastic metals and the heating element was the mineral limestone, it was going to go into the land dump. And we did really well. And at that point, I realized I didn't really win. Mm-hmm. And that's when I realized that, okay, anything I do for the rest of my life is going to be positive. I went into renewable energy and nutrition, consulted for companies for about 3 years in that industry. And then out of that consulting and picking those two different positive industries, I was able to see this, hooked up with my partner, who's really the brains behind this high-tech natural growing.
Mm-hmm. So, but where'd you get the idea for, I mean, this is vertical gardening essentially, right? In urban settings. Did you see this being done? I mean, when did the light bulb come on?
I had a group of doctors that wanted me to bring products to market for them. I realized that they were nutraceutical instead of whole food based.
Sure.
And when I did my homework and realized that nutraceutical is better than pharmaceutical, but it's minus the enzymes and the probiotics, I realized it wasn't for me. And I passed because I swore to myself when I left the can thing, I was only going to do positive things. And so I met my partner a few years prior. I knew of his expertise and brilliance in this area. And so when the idea dawned that, okay, we've got to get into this whole food business, I gave Mike Castro a call. He had all the brains and the knowledge and expertise to do it.
Well, that's what you need. Well, I'm looking at your website, hometownfarms.com, and your bios are all there. It's very impressive, the backgrounds of all these people, your advisory board. I mean, when did you guys start? I mean, how long is this? This took a long time to put all this together, right?
Absolutely. This has been about a six-year journey. And, you know, most times you'd say, okay, it took you 6 years to start your business. What are you, nuts? You know? Yeah. But when you have to change laws and you're the first one to do something in the city and the state, and those folks, which are great folks, don't know how to interpret the laws for what you're doing, it takes a lot of time. Mm-hmm. And then when you got to go to the investment community and say, hey, this thing is coming, and nobody can see it. It takes years for them to catch up.
Mm, gotcha. Well, it's pretty incredible. So,
I mean, everybody should go to your website and look at the video.
Yep.
Because that's really amazing.
Yep.
Thank you.
Hometownfarms.com. The video is impressive. How long did that take to make? That probably took a little while, huh?
Yeah, it took us a couple months to put together. But it really spells it out.
Yeah, that's great.
All right, wonderful.
Well, we'll
come
right here.
Yeah, we got to take a break. We'll come right back with Dan Gibbs, of CEO of hometownfarms.com. Hang on. Be right back. All right, we're back with the CEO of Hometown Farms. They're going to revolutionize organic farming in the way it's done in urban settings. And we have the CEO himself, Dan Gibbs. So welcome back, Dan.
Great. Thank you.
Richard, you wanted to get into some of the...
I wanted to ask a question about distribution, because I know a lot of the cost with regard to the retail price that consumers pay for food isn't really the cost of the food. It's the cost of getting it from where it was to where it needs to be.
Absolutely.
And that's roads and traffic and gasoline and
everything
all
else.
Kinds of things.
Yeah, the numbers that I've seen is that the distribution part, the people that touch it between the farmer and the retailer, take up about 58 to 60 cents out of every dollar. So a big portion of our model is not only growing a larger quantity in the one location, but it's also cutting back on that distribution. So what normally takes hundreds, if not thousands of miles, we do within a 5, 10, 20 mile radius.
I'm just going to throw this out there. You know, you guys ought to approach LeBron James and Magic Johnson, because these guys, you know, if you get some major to help not only you know, financially support this, but help endorse it in the food deserts in many of our urban areas. And something like that could be, you know, a really big, a good marketing ploy, don't you think?
Oh, it's not a great marketing ploy, but it actually helps the people that need it the most. And yeah, this model, what's so great about it is really the model. The model can go into a food desert or the most expensive mm-hmm. neighborhood in the country.
Right. Mm-hmm. And literally can fit anywhere.
It fits anywhere. And really, if you're not looking to make great profit, and we've got a nonprofit model that we're doing for foundations and to support nonprofits, and then basically it supplies them jobs, food, and then the excess food mm-hmm. that they can't eat, they sell for cash. Right. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
So you have some existing facilities right now?
If you opened your first one recently,
yeah,
right?
We just opened up our first location up in San Marcos.
Wow.
Where's it located exactly?
It's 2075 North Twin Oaks Valley Road,
San Marcos. So not too far from the Vista City line up off the 78.
Correct. You got it.
Okay. San Marcos.
And we actually just got our organic certification today.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
So I think I'm still checking, but I believe we're now the largest certified organic vegetable and berry greenhouse in all of San Diego.
Wow. Isn't that something?
Wow.
How big is it?
We've got a little over 3 acres of net growing acre.
Isn't
net
that
growing
something?
Area.
And you stack them up. So how many stacks of plants do you have growing?
Well, some of our stacks and some are vining. So for like tomatoes, one tomato plant will take up 10 square mm-hmm. inches. So instead of growing along the ground, right. it grows along a wire going straight up.
Huh. Right.
And, you know, we grow what's called hydroorganically. So we actually grow it in a living organic compost uh-huh. that allows the plants to have like an ecosystem within there mm-hmm. to feed themselves.
Huh. Now you say this is being done in Israel and other places where other countries are doing this or way ahead of us already?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually all over the world. And so what we do is we just go around the world and find the best equipment that's the most efficient. And we bring it all together in one location.
But we're number one, I thought. And when I go to the football games, I hear that all the time.
Well, as we know in the food part, we're falling way far behind.
Yeah. Well, that's for sure. Thanks to people like you, we're catching up.
But the concept of retail farm is a fairly new concept, right? Because usually it's grown where people don't even know, and then it gets to a retailer somewhere else. And your whole point is to have the community just directly access the thing that's being created in the community.
That's exactly it. Yeah, that's exactly it.
I love the term retail farm.
And it's the only way, because if you can't get directly to the people, you can't give it to them at an affordable price.
Right, exactly.
So so you'll put that address on your website soon and have a little link about the...
Absolutely.
It's so new, or just open, right?
That's correct.
What is your goal in terms of locations here in San Diego County?
We figure we'll have at least a dozen locations throughout San Diego. Okay. And then what we're going to do is open up some retail locations in more denser locations. Mm-hmm. And then that way our growing facilities will be 2, 3, 4, 5 miles away.
Sure.
And then we'll just ship into the more denser population areas.
Right, makes sense.
Huh. Fantastic. This is, you know, I've already sent this video out to like 2-3 people who are, you know, pretty well connected, and they're both blown away by this.
Oh, everybody, yeah. You know, we've done a lot of shows on sustainability. Just it's one of the, you know, about wealth, we don't talk about money. We talk about all the other things that wealth really
is. Ideas are wealth.
People and knowledge and ideas and health.
Absolutely. And really the health, and you guys know this is just as well as I'm going to say, but I think for the listeners, I mean, when you eat vine-ripened food, you're getting enzymes and mm-hmm. phytonutrients that you just cannot get in today's system because of having to pick it early and then ship it. It's losing it.
But also the whole concept of community.
Absolutely.
I mean, what you're doing, in my opinion, is going to start building better community.
Yes, because it brings the local community back to a central place to buy.
Exactly. And so you get all these people who are different but in the same community benefiting their own community.
Absolutely.
And I think that's going to be a really neat byproduct of what you're doing.
Do we know what's going
on?
Thank you,
I agree.
Now, Richard, you have a school foundation. Have we finally gotten the soft drinks out of schools? Are they getting...
Yeah, for the most part. Like my foundation up in Ocean, we have a lot of schools now where you can't get the junk. We have a lot of schools growing their own vegetables.
Have they banned soft drinks?
I don't know that it... one of the challenges has always been that that's a way for schools to raise money, which is unfortunate.
Well, that's right. And that movie, going back to Fed Up, which I hope everybody sees, they get into the the advertising by the fast food, the Coca-Cola. Well, I shouldn't say these
names.
Let them sue me. I'm lawsuit proof anyway.
Dan,
Richard.
Dan, just some stats since we're a financial show. Cutting down water and fuel. I mean, what are you talking? 20%, 50%, 80%? What? You know, reductions in water and fuel by farming this way.
Yeah, absolutely. We reduce approximately about 90% of the fuel and carbon output.
Whoa.
80 to 85% of the water reduction.
Yeah, and of course we're in a drought condition,
which is huge. So you know, an outdoor field of tomatoes takes, you know, watered the old traditional way, about 1 million gallons,
right.
And we can do it for about 150,000 gallons.
You know, I bet the military bases would embrace this. Immediately if we get this out.
For them, I think it's great because I know they're trying to be energy independent, water independent. Mm-hmm. This makes them more food independent.
Yeah, exactly.
So, of course, we got to get people eating more healthy food. So, this is the way to do it.
And by getting it more affordably, now the masses start to eat it. And then when the masses start to eat it, they improve their health.
Absolutely.
It takes the burden off our health system.
We will
system.
Attack this.
Dan, we're going to have you back on the show.
Yes, we have to.
There's so much more to talk about.
Yeah, we have to wrap it right here. But thanks to Carol Kim for being our guest tonight, running in District 6. Thanks to CEO Dan Gibbs of Hometown Farms. His website's hometownfarms.com. Ours is iymoney.com. And you have a great week, everybody. Let's go Chargers and enjoy the nice toasty weather. We'll see you next time on It's Your Money and Your Life. Good night now.